Well, hello there. It's good to have you join us again today. You know, we are living in the last times, and it's as necessary as it possibly could be to get as much of God's Word out there so people will not say, well, I didn't know, and nobody told me. It's that important, you know. It's the most important thing you could do in your life, really, is to understand, you know, what God's Word has to say about these end times. And you can tell. I mean, nobody has to scream it from the highest mountain or whatever. Hey, it's the last time. You can tell. Look at what's been going on in this world. Look at the fires that rage and burn up the land. Look at the floods that encompasses about all over the world. And look at the winter we've been living in all throughout North America. Most of the United States has had snow and below freezing temperatures. I mean, this is something we're not used to down in places like Alabama. I mean, but the only place that's been spared has been Florida. And, you know, sometimes they even get frost down there. So, I mean, you cannot deny we are living in the last days. And, you know, don't say, well, I don't understand. Well, it's right there before your eyes. Understand that. You don't even have to understand what everybody's saying when they talk about what the Bible has to say. All you got to do is look around you. There's more of everything that's wrong with this world increasing. You know, things, the Bible says, things will wax worse and worse. And they are. Now, this message is very important for that very reason. I've called my message, He Came For Us and Brought Us With Him. He came for us and brought us with Him. And what that actually means is He came for us, those who are saved, those who have believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He comes for us at the rapture of the church, takes us out, takes us home to glory with Him. And at the end of the tribulation, when He comes in that final judgment to deal with the world, deal with sin, which will be totally out of hand by then because of the Antichrist, He brings us back with Him. I mean, not to get involved in the fighting and the destruction that will go on at that horrendous time, but He brings us with Him because we are His. We are His bride. We are part of His body. Okay? I hope you understand that. Now, I'll just give you a second here to let it sink in while I open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord. Thank You for allowing me, Lord, to deliver this word. Oh, how important it is, Father, that people that hear it will understand what's being said and that they will apply it. They will make that move towards You, Lord God, because only what's done for You will last. Let this be their day of salvation, Lord God. Please, and if they only think they're saved, may they examine themselves and know for sure. For I ask and pray in the name of Your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. He came for us, and He brought us with Him. Who? Who came for us? Well, and who brought us with Him? Well, of course, you know who I'm talking about, right? I want to tell you right now, before we get into this message too far, while we are bickering over pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-trib raptures, multitudes, perhaps millions of precious souls are living in the twilight zone, waiting for their own true outcome, hoping for the best. You don't have to hope and live in a dream world. Be sure, through Jesus Christ, the rapture of the church and the tribulation are well described, well defined in the Word of God. There's been no reason for doubt. The rapture of the church and the tribulation. The rapture comes first. However, and unfortunately, So too are they well defined in the master of deceit, which is Satan. He is the master of deceit and confusion. Because if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, if you don't believe in God, then you've got to believe in something, and the only thing that's left is the opposite end of the spectrum, which is Satan, the devil. You might say, well, I don't believe it's the devil either. Well, well, if you're not believing in Christ, well, you're so full of the devil, that's why you don't believe it. You see, we belong, who are not saved right now, we belong to the devil. So we don't have to, whether say we believe in it or not, we actually are his. Until we give ourselves over to Jesus Christ. Then the devil loses his grip on us and we are with the Lord. It's as simple as that. As simple as that. For this very reason, the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. Now, what I am going to tell you in this message is the truth as I see it in the word of our holy and righteous God, just as he revealed it. Just as he revealed it. Now, I'm not going to come at you with a whip or with a shotgun and say, believe it, believe it. No. My job as a Christian, as a believer, is to relate what God has laid on my heart to you. It's up to you to believe, you and you alone. Nobody can do it for you. So, who am I, you may ask? Who am I? Well, just like all the saints of God, a sinner, saved by grace, saved by grace. But let me ask you, who is Moses? Who is David? Who is Paul? Am I comparing myself with these great Bible greats? No, I'm just another servant of God who left this world of sin-filled depravity and by faith gave myself over to the wooing of the Holy Spirit. That's all I am. I'm just another servant of God who left this world of sin-filled depravity. When I say I left this world, I don't mean bodily yet, but I left it spiritually. Because once we are saved, our soul is seated in the heavens. Spiritually, we are in heaven. And when Christ comes in the rapture, then he'll change our bodies just like his holy and righteous body so that the flesh can be taken up too. Oh, this old flesh it is right now could never get into heaven. Huh, wouldn't get past the first gate. No way. We have to believe in Jesus Christ, that he came, he suffered, he bled, he died for the sins of the whole world. Now I'm on Twitter and I'm on Facebook, and I have my own website, tillycomes.net, Battlesite for Christ, which shall remain until such time as Satan and his parasites are no longer a stumbling block. You know when that'll be, don't you? At the end, the very end. I am indwelled by the Holy Spirit, as all believers are, and also led. And when I preach the word of the living God, then I am also forfeiting and empowered by his leading. I'm forfeiting myself, giving myself over, and God has given me the power, the indwelling power, through the Holy Spirit to present myself before him and the word that he has laid on my heart. Now, daily, as I examine my Facebook page or my website, the feedback I receive, well, that's my blessing from God. Through you, my fellow saints, if only one soul gets saved. Now, this might sound ridiculous, but if only one soul got saved throughout my complete ministry, it will not have been a flop. It would be all worth it. One soul, even one. Then praise be to God. Praise be to God. Daily I examine my Facebook. And I look for people who say, thank you, I didn't know this or I didn't know that. A famous line from an old movie titled, you may have seen it. It's called The Ten Commandments. And this line was spoken by Yul Brynner. You know, Baldy Yul Brynner played one of the major roles, played Pharaoh, the Pharaoh of Egypt, in the movie. I shall never forget. He said, every time he concluded that something would be done by his power, he would say, so let it be written, so let it be done. So let it be written, so let it be done. And so it is, my friends, with the word of our holy God. It is written, and it shall be done. It shall be done. Let's take a moment and just reflect upon what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will do. Okay, listen, please, listen to the rest of this message. The greatest controversy facing humankind today centers around the word indecision. Indecision. Unfortunately, indecision walks hand in hand with confusion. And confusion is the most volatile weapon in Satan's arsenal of dirty tricks. It is. It's more subtle than a baby's smile. It's more powerful than a freight train rumbling through the Rockies. What it involves for the Christian is our inner faith to overcome our vile, sinful flesh. We need that moving of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us to help us overcome, to give us a power we don't have on our own. We don't. First, give your life to Christ. Then in comes the Holy Spirit of God. As true Christians, like I said before, we are already seated in the heavens. Thanks be to the cross of Christ, if you're a believer. Do you or do you not realize that the rapture or snatching away of the church, as it's commonly called, could happen at any time? It could, any time. Even before I finish this message. In fact, all is in readiness. You look around, like I alluded to before I started the message about the floods and the fires and all the catastrophes going on in the world today. It's getting worse and worse, isn't it? It is. You have to admit that. All is in readiness. The rapture could happen before I'm finished. The Son of God will come in the clouds. Now you won't see him. No eye shall see him. The trump will sound, and the voice of the archangel will call all the saved or the saints in Christ, and he'll shout, come up hither! Come up hither! No one knows the day or the hour that this will occur, but that's what will happen according to the scriptures. Come up hither! Oh, I'm looking forward to that day. Right now, only we listen. Now listen carefully, listen carefully. Only we who believed and repented and received the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, into our hearts, will hear this call. We'll not see anybody. We'll hear the call, and then we'll be raptured out. The unsaved will not hear. Nor what, not, they, we will, the saved, but the unsaved will not hear. We'll hear, come up hither, but the unsaved will not hear. Not one ear, only his church, only the bride of Christ will hear those words, and we'll be swept up to glory with them, and forever shall we be with the Lord. Oh, what a great day that will be. And in a moment, the Bible says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ. Now, the dead in Christ at that time, if we're still living, are those who are already in the grave. They will rise first out of the grave. And then, we who remain, who are still alive, walking around like I am right now, will follow them up into the clouds to meet our Savior in the air. Christ will not set foot upon this earth. He does that at the end of the tribulation. But he will not set foot. He will come in the clouds of glory. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Keep that in mind. It's not like we're being bored and we're going to be dumped off again in another far off land. No, we go up with him. We stay with him. Our bodies are changed. Forever we are with him. Where he goes, we go. Now, this is not difficult to understand. Although for many of us, it is difficult to believe. To believe. This is why we must have faith. Faith. You see, what's difficult is the believing part. I mean, you hear it and you say, oh, I don't know. It sounds kind of far-fetched. You see, that's where faith has to kick in. You have to believe. Because if you don't believe, see, you can't fool Christ. You can't say, well, I said I believed, yeah. I know I was a little bit skeptical at first, but I believe. No, it doesn't fly with God. It doesn't do anything at all. You must have that real, true faith. Believe. You see, like I said, what's difficult is the believing part. And that's where faith has to kick in. If you read the faith chapter, which is chapter 11 in Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews in your Bible, then you'll see what faith is all about. That's why they call it the faith chapter. And how it works. How the Old Testament saints, how they got saved. You know, there's an old hymn, and we don't sing it very often, unfortunately. It's called, Faith is the Victory That Overcomes the World. Faith is the victory, oh, glorious victory. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Only a few lines there from it. I just love it. He came for us, and he brought us with him. For us, he came in the rapture. With him, we'll come at the end of the tribulation. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Now, at this point, as the saved are taken out, so too is the Holy Spirit which dwells within us. Now, only temporarily is the Holy Spirit taken out, but he comes back to indwell those who get saved during the tribulation period. But at that point, the Holy Spirit is taken out when we are raptured to allow this restraining force against sin not to interfere while that man of perdition, the Antichrist, begins his dirty work here on earth. That's why the Holy Spirit is taken out. But he'll return to indwell new converts. Now, there's one thing you must keep in mind. When the rapture occurs, there will not be even one, not one Christ believer left upon the earth. Not one precious soul who believed and received Jesus as their Savior. Not one. Now hear me out. There are stories and there are movies making their rounds of being left behind. Those who doubted the cross, they knew of him, but they did not believe in him. Now I know even those who think they are Christians and are not, who are of the mind that they will have a second chance. And they will make their decision once they see mom and dad or friends or relatives taken up. when they see the Christian church gone, only then will they believe. This I do not believe. They will believe a lie. The Bible is clear on that. They will worship the Antichrist. They will receive his mark, 666. The Bible says that God will send a strong delusion upon them. Ooh, mom and dad can't save you. Neither can their absence. Father O'Reilly can't save you. Catholicism can't save you. Protestantism can't save you. Rick Warren can't save you. Joel Osteen can't save you. Superman can't save you. Do you understand? Do you understand? Let this be your warning. If you know of the gospel of Jesus Christ, do not receive him before the church is called home, that means you've rejected him, then you will come under the strong delusion. It will be too late for you. The strong delusion will blind you to the gospel truth. You won't even realize it. You won't even have a desire to worship Christ. You will worship the Antichrist instead. And you will believe he is God. You will take the mark, the 666, either in your hand or in your forehead. You will be destroyed with the second coming of Jesus Christ at the end of the tribulation. And you will go to hell. You will go to hell. My friends, you cannot mock God. Now is your time of salvation. I repeat, now is your time of salvation. Simply put, if you're left behind at the rapture, which could happen at any minute, it's because you refused to believe. You. Nobody else. You. It's very important. It's a one-on-one situation. Even here in this message now, even here in this very message, and not repenting and believing in Christ as Savior, you may as well go back to crying in your beer, because you will come under that strong delusion sent from God in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 10 to 12. Read it for yourself. This is what I believe. So it is written. So it shall be done. So it shall be done. Oh, hear me, friends. Hear me. The tribulation period cannot begin until the Lord removes his church, his bride, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God hath not appointed us his bride to wrath. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. We're gone. We're gone. According to the prophetic calendar, the tribulation is the very next event after the rapture of the church. The rapture of the bride of Christ, then the tribulation begins. Then we are now living in a gap between the 69th and 70th week of Daniel. The 70th and final week is right at our door. And it will begin when the church is gone and the Antichrist makes a peace pact. Get this now. Makes a peace pact with Israel, according to Daniel 9:27. Now, in the middle of this seven-year peace pact, the Antichrist will break his covenant with Israel and commit what is called the abomination of desolation. He will take up residence in the rebuilt temple. He will sit upon the throne and tell the world that he is God. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 and 4. Again, remember, the church will not be here. We know who the red dragon is, right? Satan. It's another one of his names. In Revelation 12, verse 7, we are told that Satan is at war with the heavenly host. Satan is at war with the heavenly host. In Revelation 12, verses 5 and 6, also in Psalm 2, we learn of a man-child who is to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Verse 9 tells us who this man-child is. None other than the Lord Jesus Christ. None other. The woman clothed with the sun in Revelation 12, well, she's really the nation of Israel that will be ravaged by Satan and then finally rescued by God after she finally turns to the Messiah of Zechariah, Zechariah 12, verse 10. Just some added information here. And you do hear a lot about the Trinity. Of course, you're familiar with the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit of God, right? I think we've all heard of the Holy Trinity. Then there's the phonies, the imitators, called the Satanic Trinity, comprising of Satan, who is imitating God the Father, then the Antichrist, or the beast, who tries to imitate Jesus the Son by dying and being resurrected. He will look like a normal person to you, someone you meet on the street every day. His power will come from Satan. He could be a type of Rick Warren, or a Joel Osteen, or even the Pope. And of course, the false prophet imitates the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the job of the false prophet, the third person of the unholy Trinity. He imitates the work of the Holy Spirit by glorifying the Son, the Antichrist, and sealing those who trust in him. Ooh. Satan is very adept at imitating God. It's happened down through the ages. It's happening right now because people are so confounded, so confused, fooled. They believe this is the God. This is our God. Well, he's not. He's not the true God. He's not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Satan is very adept at this. The two major changes that Satan has brought to pass are these. Listen carefully. The headship of the man over the woman and eliminating the conventional one man, one woman marriage bond. We know what that's all about, don't we? Homosexuality. It's rampant right now in the world. Who brought this about? Not God. The two major changes that Satan has brought to pass so far are the headship of the man over the woman. The man is no longer the head of the home. And eliminating the conventional one man, one woman marriage bond. Now it's man with man, woman with woman, who cares? These two changes has Satan already brought in preparation for the tribulation. Stand by, folks. Stand by. This is only the beginning. Only the beginning. What about the rumors? What about the rumors? Do you hear of them? Some say the Antichrist will be the resurrected Emperor Nero. Or Hitler. A more reasonable guess would be Judas Iscariot brought back to life. Tell me, what's your guess? Who do you think the Antichrist will be? Well, be sure of this one thing. Satan cannot restore life unless it is by divine permission. Okay? The wicked will not be resurrected until the great white throne judgment. And we find that in Revelation 20, verses 11, 15. I'm going to read it to you. I want you to listen carefully if you're not there. In Revelation 20, verses 11 to 15. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Now, this is the great white throne judgment we're talking about. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Now, this, we say the dead here, we're talking about the unsaved. And they're being judged. They're judged according to their works. Now, the people who are saved are not judged according to their works. Okay? They're judged according to whether they believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ or not. They stand before another judgment to receive rewards, okay? But here it says, the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. So much for Adolf Eichmann. His ashes being cast out over the sea, he's still going to be gathered up and brought to stand before the white throne judgment. And death and hell, those who went to hell right now, who are going to hell even this day, are already in hell. And those, and death and hell will be delivered up, will deliver up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. You see, when you die, like now, before the Lord's return, then you go to hell. You go to hell, which is not a nice place to go. And you suffer in hell. But when the great white throne judgment occurs at the end of the tribulation, or at the end, you will be taken up out of hell to stand before Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment, and he will determine the severity of your punishment by the way you behaved upon the earth. In other words, if you were took the 666 mark from the beast in the tribulation, well, you can expect the worst there is in hell. You see, apparently, I don't know for sure, and I'm not going to advocate it, but there are degrees of punishment in hell, according to what I understand. But I cannot be adamant about that. Okay? And verse 14, and death, that's those who are unsaved, and hell, those who are already in hell, were cast where? Into the lake of fire. See, there's hell, and then there's the lake of fire. This is the second death. The second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Into the lake of fire. Oh, that's where the devil will ultimately end up. In the lake of fire, where you are. For all eternity. All eternity. Not for a 20-year sentence. Not for life with parole. Eternally. Always suffering. Always in agony. You don't want to go there. You don't want to go there. Some folks get a bit confused when you mention the judgment. They forget there are two judgments. Two. First, the judgment, or sometimes known as the Bema Seat, of Christ for the saved, for the Gentile nations mostly, Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46, tells it about it. This takes place just before the 1,000-year millennial reign, according to verse 31. This, as far as we know, is for the giving out of crowns and rewards to cast at the Savior's feet. So if you're saved, then when you stand before the bema or judgment seat of Christ, you stand there to receive rewards or crowns that you will cast at your dear Savior's feet. And when you don't get a reward or a crown, which many of us won't because we weren't good Christians or we didn't obey the way we should have, although we are saved, we will be sorry, we will weep, we will bow our heads in shame because we didn't have these crowns to cast at our dear Savior's feet. And that will be a time of great weeping. Now, then we have, that was the judgment seat or judgment or bema seat of Christ. That was for Christians, okay? Then we have the great white throne judgment. Do not get it confused now. The great white throne judgment, this is for the dealing of all believers, or pardon me, of all unbelievers, the unsaved dead, and those that still may be alive at then. And it occurs after, not after the tribulation, but after the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ upon the earth. That's when the great white throne judgment occurs. After the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ upon the earth. These are those condemned to eternal hellfire. You see, you may already have been in hell. If you died before this time, you will be in hell if you're unsaved. But that's why the Bible says the dead will stand before them then. The dead, those in hell, will stand before them. These are those that were condemned to eternal hell. All right? So, you don't want to be there. You don't want to have gone there. You want to be at the other judgment, the judgment seat or bema seat of Christ. You want to be there. You don't want to be in this one. No, you don't. What'd you say? Oh, no, you don't. No, you don't. Anyway, that's about it. You have it. I mean, when there's an end to things upon the earth. The question remains, though, which judgment will you stand before? Which judgment will you stand before? Now, as I said at the outset, Jesus came for us and brought us with him. In other words, he came for us when he comes in the rapture because we were not appointed unto wrath. And he took us out of the way so the tribulation could begin. Then he brought us with him at the end of the tribulation as he eradicated all sin from off the face of the earth at the end of the great tribulation. Dealt with it. He stands on the Mount of Olives and that splits it wide open under his feet. Then he deals. He deals with them. Or you, if you're one of them. It's time to believe, isn't it? It's time to know. Well, you do know. You've been told. It's in the Bible. I've given you the important facts of what will occur from this day forward in your life. The choice is yours. Will you believe in Jesus Christ and accept him as your personal Savior now? Or will you continue on hoping, waiting to see if what I'm telling you is the truth? Well, if you wait to see if what I'm telling you is the truth, it'll be too late. It'll be too late for you then. You can't say, oh yeah, well, I heard that. Yeah, I believe that. Sure, I believe. It's too late. You believe a lie. You believe in a strong delusion that God will send upon you. Do you want that to happen to you? Oh, nobody wants that to happen. You have no idea what hell is like, do you? If you did, you wouldn't want to go there. And if you don't want to go to heaven, if you don't believe in heaven, then that's where you want to go. So how is it with you? Would you be ready if he should come for you today? Which flock will you be in? Those whom Jesus comes to get before the tribulation? If so, well, if you're in that number, then you will return with him at the end of the tribulation in your new bodies, incorruptible. And that's good news. In fact, that's the only good news there is. I pray you believe in Christ now. Tomorrow could be too late. Do it now.